Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend.
Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following The Horrible Reign of Manasseh as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 21. Now here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Now Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, which means that he was born 3 years after Hezekiah's prayer that God would spare his life. Which brings up now an interesting point, because we read verse 2 that Manasseh did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He reared up altars for Baal. He made an Asherim, as did Ahab, the king of Israel. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons pass through the fire. And he observed times. He used enchantments. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He brought much wickedness into the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set an image of the Asherim, or of Venus, a image designed to arouse the sexual passions. And he placed it right in the temple, the house of the Lord. I mean, this guy was totally evil. And he reigned for 55 years in Jerusalem. And they never could completely recover, though under Josiah, his grandson, there was a spiritual reform. They never could recover from the damage that was done by Manasseh, and he sealed the fate of the kingdom. He actually sealed their fate. Now, Hezekiah received the word of the Lord, "You're going to die and not live." He prayed, he cried, he wept, he chattered like a sparrow, mourned like a dove, and God said, "Okay, I'll give you 15 more years." And during that 15 years, this horribly wicked son was born. Had he died at that time, it could be that the history of the nation could have been changed. At least Manasseh would never have had this horrible reign. Is there such a thing as the permissive will of God versus the direct will of God? And can I enter into a shadowy realm of God's permissive will? God permits me to do it, but it's not His direct will for my life. I think that a powerful case can be made for this. And I do believe that there are many people who are living in the permissive will of God rather than the direct will of God. In other words, they're living far below the standard that God would have them to live. And there are always adverse consequences. When I do not acquiesce to the will of God, when I insist I'm going to go this way, now God, please, you know, go along with me, because I'm going to go this way. And I want you to go with me, but I'm going this way, you know. You remember when Balaam prayed unto the Lord when the messengers had come and said, Balak the king wants you to come and curse these people that are coming into his land. And Balaam prayed and the Lord said, thou shalt not go to the king, neither shalt thou curse them. Balaam went out and said, I can't come, fellows, and I can't curse them. They're God's people, nothing I can do. And the king sent other messengers loaded down with expensive gifts. And they said, the king desires that you come to him and just advise him and give him counsel concerning these people passing through the land. And Balaam prayed again. I think if we could have heard his prayer after he saw all the loot, he was saying, oh, Lord, come on, please, Lord. Oh, you can't keep me. Lord, I've got to go, Lord. You know, and the Lord finally said, okay, go. But the Lord wasn't pleased with his going because the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the drawn sword. He was in the permissive will of God. God permitted him to go, but was not pleased with his going. And I think that that's possible. I think that we can insist on our way, and we can enter into this realm of permissive will of God rather than the direct will of God, and we suffer as the result. Or, as was the case with Hezekiah, the nation suffered as the result. Because Manasseh, this horribly evil king, was born 3 years after God extended his life for 15 years. He was 12 years old when he began to reign. According to extra-biblical sources, he was the one that ordered Isaiah the prophet to be sawed in two. Isaiah the prophet, who had led his father, who had been such a powerful influence upon his father, who was probably the spiritual force behind the tremendous reformation by Hezekiah. Isaiah, this man of God, ordered, when he came to Manasseh, no doubt to rebuke him for the things he was doing, Manasseh ordered that he be sawed in two. And so in the book of Hebrews, it talks about those of whom the world was not worthy, who were sawn asunder. It means that they just sawed him in two. And they believe that it was a reference to Isaiah, who was ordered sawed in two by this wicked Manasseh. I'll tell you, for one, I am not interested in the permissive will of God for my life. I want the direct will of God for my life. Because I am convinced that God knows better than I what's best for me. And I'm always reticent, reluctant to insist on my way, lest I move from the direct will of God to the permissive will of God into that shadowy. I'm not interested in the permissive will of God. I want God's direct will for me. And so Manasseh, we get into the evils that he did. Actually, all of the things that were done in the northern kingdom of Israel before it fell, he did them all. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 19, we are told concerning this causing their children to be put in the fire, burning their children. Verse 4, the Lord said, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place, that is the temple, which we read that he put idols in the temple itself. Now, that's worse than anything that had been done. Athaliah had built another temple and had idols nearby. She just let the temple of God just sort of go to ruin. Others had built idols around Jerusalem. No one had dared to be so sacrilegious as to put pagan idols right in the temple of God and a nude statue of the Ashereth within the Holy of Holies. Horrible desecration by Manasseh. And because they have forsaken me, they've estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods. Talking about the temple, they've made it strange to God. They've burned incense to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah. They filled this place with the blood of innocents. For they have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. And so they were burning their children unto Baal. And according to Ezekiel, they're in the valley of Gehenna, valley of Hinnom, just at the southeastern portion of the city of Jerusalem. According to Ezekiel the prophet, the fires were continually burning. In other words, they were constantly burning their children down there, just one after another. The fires, they continually burn their children. For this cause, God ordered their destruction. These were the things that the people that lived in the land before them were doing. These were the things that sealed the fate of a society. But there is a progression. There is, first of all, the opening of the door to pornography. The groves, the Ashtoreth, the worship of the goddess Ashtoreth in the Hebrew Asherim, in the Greek Aphrodite, in Rome, Venus, the sexual goddess. When you have this kind of sexual excitement through pornography, and they had it in those days, they didn't have printing presses like we have, and so they did it with statues, images, and the female statues in all types of provocative positions, and sometimes male and female together. And then as it progressed, it was male and male. For these things, God destroyed the nations. For these things, God destroyed the nation of Israel. For these things, God will soon be destroying the nation of Judah. For these things, God destroyed the nations that were before them. For these things, God destroyed Greece. For these things, God destroyed Rome. Now, when you have this kind of sexual freedom and sexual activities, the byproduct is unwanted pregnancies. In those days, they were not scientifically developed enough to have abortions. So they would have the babies, but then after the babies were born, they would bring them down and burn them in the fires unto their gods, Molech and Baal. It was just getting rid of the unwanted babies. Today, we are a little more cultured. We burn them in the womb with saline solutions. But we're doing the same thing. For you see, the one leads to the other. Freedom of sexual expression, pornography, leads to unwanted pregnancies. Illegitimate children. They become a problem to the society. So the society must get rid of them. And 1,500,000 were aborted in the United States last year. Tell me we're not worshiping Molech. Tell me we're not worshiping Baal. Tell me we're not worshiping Asherim. Don't kid yourself. Tell me God will be lenient. He'll let it pass. He's asleep. He's unaware. He doesn't care. Not so. He is merciful. He is patient, he's long-suffering, but he's also just. And America will get her just deserts. And if we don't repent and change, it will be very soon. Manasseh created the die that they could not break. The things that his father had undone, he did. The high places he tore down, Manasseh built. The images his father destroyed, Manasseh created new ones. Verse 7, he set the graven image of the Asherim, this female sex goddess, that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I'll put my name forever. In this very place, he put this idol image of this female sex goddess. Neither, he said, will I make the feet of Israel move anymore out of the land which I gave to their fathers. Only these promises, God said, my face will be here forever, and I'll not move them out of the land if, conditional promise, they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they hearkened not, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. They were worse than those nations that God had destroyed before them. So the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, the king of Judah, has done these abominations and has done more wickedness than all of the Amorites which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whosoever hears of it, both of his ears shall tingle. In other words, it'll bring pain to your ears when you hear of what I'm going to do. The suffering, the pain, the agony that these people are going to go through. For I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria. God is no respecter. God is saying, I judge Samaria for these things. I'm going to judge Judah. And the pulpit of the house of Ahab, I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipes a dish, and wiping it turns it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. They shall become a prey and a spoil to all of their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, we are also told, and this was the final straw, we are also told that next to the temple of God, he set up this place of worship of the female god and had these priestesses, which were nothing but prostitutes, beside these priestesses, which were prostitutes, there were also the homosexuals that came out in the open. They came out of the closet, and they too were parked next to the temple of God. And this was the final straw. When they did this, God said, that's it. And God allowed them to be destroyed. It seems like the final movement in the death of a nation, if you will look at it from a historic standpoint, is when the nation becomes so morally corrupt that the homosexuals become brazen and begin to parade and begin to not be ashamed of the things that they do, but brazenly flaunt their homosexual preferences. This is what happened in Sodom. This is what happened in Judah, as we will get to the history as we find it in Chronicles. And this is what happened in Greece. This is what happened in Rome. And if you're a student of history, you know that I tell you the truth. And look where we are today in the United States. I mean, the final abomination. We can't last much longer. The rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did, his sin, they're written in the book of Chronicles. We'll get it. Manasseh slept with his fathers, was buried in the garden of his own house, the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son reigned in his stead. Now, Amon was just as bad as his dad. He was 22 years old when he began to reign. He reigned only for 2 years, thank God, and it's a blessing to Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Meshulamith, of the daughter of Haruz of Jotbah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh did. He walked in all the way that his father walked, and he served the idols that his father served, and he worshiped them, and he forsook Jehovah, the God of his fathers, and walked not in the way of Jehovah. And the servants of Ammon conspired against him and slew him in his own house. And the people of the land slew all of them that had conspired against King Ammon, and the people of the land made Josiah his son king in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Ammon which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? He was buried in the sepulcher in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah his son reigned in his stead. Now, Josiah, interestingly enough, good king. Interesting, you've got such tremendous contrast here. Hezekiah, good king. His father Ahaz, evil king. Manasseh, horrible king. Ammon, a horrible king, but he only lasted 2 years. Now Josiah comes to the throne, a good king, and because of him, the nation is spared for a while, but after his death, downhill. And we'll follow the progression as we continue through the book of 2 Kings.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Kings in our next lesson as we follow the reign of Josiah. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Over and over and over, the prophets sent by God said to the people, get right with God. As Isaiah said unto the king, set your house in order, and the time has come. You better get your house set in order. Get right with God. Get right with your fellow man, but the one includes the other. You can't be right with God without being right with your fellow man. You can't love God and hate your fellow man. Set your house in order, because you don't have much time.
As we look around at an impatient, instant, get-it-now society, we may have those same expectations of faith. Just as Abraham's faith developed as he got to know God better, so your faith will expand and develop as you walk with God. In his new book, Faith, Pastor Chuck teaches the scriptures that will help you learn how to increase your faith.
Faith believes when it cannot see. This I know.
To order a copy of Pastor Chuck's new book, Faith, And to preview a chapter for free online, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-WORD. Again, that's thewordfortoday.org.
Faith believes when it cannot see.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.